This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is what Kevin Willard's probably got to start singing to the president and the new AD, whoever that might be, at Maryland. Although 2 wins in the NCAA tournament, a trip to the Sweet 16, sure does help loosen up that budget a little bit now. Can't be cheap to stay in San Francisco for, the next 3 nights? Hopefully the next 6 nights.
Yeah, you'd hope it's like a week.
Right? I mean, I don't know if they flew from Seattle to San Francisco late last night. I'm not sure how that works, but not going to be cheap. If they're worried about spending an extra night in New York City. Now, listen, New York City at Christmas time? I mean, I probably would have said on that budget expense either, you know? Everybody seems outraged about that.
It's pay that or piss off your head coach.
Yeah. And well, they did.
Maybe they should have paid it.
Perhaps. Now, I'm a notorious cheapskate.
Well, we all know that
but,
about you.
You know, yeah. But, so I probably wouldn't have paid that. I mean, seriously, think about it, right? I assume they room with, you know, like 2 in a room, I assume.
I mean,
it's not the players' union, even though it's professional sports now. There's no players' union, right, that demands that they have individual rooms or what have you, right? So it's probably 2 to a room. But you have, a traveling party of probably 25, 27.
I was going to say somewhere around 30.
28, somewhere in that range. You know, I mean, 20 hotel rooms, the night 2 nights before Christmas, 3 nights before Christmas in Manhattan. Not cheap.
Understandable.
Not cheap. Now, that being said, it is Maryland. It is, we think, kind of, it should be a top shelf athletic program. It really has never seemed like that. And here's one reason why the AD, Damon Evans, leaving is kind of a big deal, right? We know that the head basketball coach is pissed off. We know that. We know that there is NIL issues and budget issues. We know that. But there has also been a lot of chaos and a lot of unsettled structure in that entire athletic department for a long, long, long time. Right? From Debbie Yao and, you know, how they handled Friedgen and, you know, unfortunately, the untimely death of the young man, Jordan McNair, to how they handled the previous basketball coach, I already forgot his name. Turgeon. To this situation, there's just a lot of unsettled, chaotic nature. And maybe this happens at every major program. I don't know. I don't get to hear about it until you hear about it. But it was unusual for the head coach to go out of his way to not only announce that the AD was leaving, which he did, but then essentially to throw the entire program and therefore university under the bus. It was weird. It was interesting. And some of you that are diehard Kevin Willard Terps fans, and I'm sure there are many more of you than are anti-Kevin Willard today, say, attaboy, that's the way to do it. You embarrass your bosses. You make a spectacle of the NCAA tournament. It's when the biggest amount of ears and eyeballs are there. That's when your message hits home. There was definitely a power play nature to what Kevin Willard did last week. But there's also, you know, I mean, to be fair, there's also a different way to look at it. And if it would have backfired, and it almost damn near did, it would not have been a good look. And if Kevin Willard is so perturbed, then I suppose maybe if they would have been eliminated on Friday or more realistically last night, maybe he would have left. Maybe this is enough to keep him. And I'm sure many of you are going to say, yes, he needed to do that. And I would say this. If it's truly as bad as he says it is, then I'm all for him fighting for his team. However, I would prefer a different way. Right? My job is to be a little bit over the top, a little bit bombastic, right? We offer opinions, analysis, and commentary. His job is to coach a basketball team. It's not to throw the university or the basketball program or the AD under the bus, which is essentially and figuratively what he did.
You also got to feel like a little blindsided, you know? If the guy that you've been working with is like, I see you, going to SMU, bye.
Fair. No doubt, especially at this time of the year, right?
Yeah, that would certainly, like, if there's anything I know about coaches.
A couple of days after he, in Kevin Willard's words, actually offered him a term sheet.
Yeah.
Like last Sunday night, before the selection show,
mm-hmm.
Willard said at the press conference on Thursday in Seattle,
yep,
he offered me a term sheet. So this clearly came together quickly for Damon Evans, which is fine, right? I mean, we all understand there's no good timing. Nico Medved, who literally coached his ass off last night for mm-hmm. Colorado State, gone.
And
to Minnesota.
Transfer portal just opened today, too.
And the transfer portal just opened today, right? But Nico Medved, gone.
Yeah.
I mean, just coached his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Poof.
Sean Miller, Xavier, they literally beat Texas on Wednesday night.
Yep.
Wednesday night in the play-in. Then they played Friday. Lost. And by yesterday, he's the Texas head coach.
It's a fun carousel, isn't it?
So I understand things are not done normally in college hoops and college athletics. I got it. That does not give me the inability. That does not color me to say, well, that's just the way it's done. So everybody's right and nobody's wrong. No. There's a preference here. And the preference would have been, if I'm Kevin Willard, and I'm sure he's done this privately, and I'm sure he has, I know he has, but I would prefer me not to take that opportunity when, yes, the most eyes and the most ears are consuming, to set your team up for failure. Now, they accomplished the goal. They won two games. Here's the other problem. Did they beat anybody really good? And the only answer that I can give you is Grand Canyon, not really good. And Colorado State was a 12 seed. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, by classic definition, Colorado State is one of the top 60 teams in the country. probably top 50 teams in the country. Maryland is a top 15 team in the country. It's not a bad win by any means. You had to work your ass off for it. You had to get a miracle running shot high off the glass from your stud freshman to win it. You could have easily lost it. But let's not, if we're being honest, and this show strives to be honest, not saying we're right all the time. If we're being honest, Maryland hasn't exactly beaten a great team yet. That will potentially change on Thursday against one seed Florida. If they get past Florida, there's nobody that can then say, hey, you haven't beaten anybody yet. And even though they were tested in the regular season because they fell short in the Big Ten tournament, that argument, I think, is still fair to be made. Now, again, Colorado State was probably way better than a 12 seed, but again, the tournament is random. Not much makes sense. So that's the seed they were given by supposedly people that know what they're doing. Okay. How do I look at it and say, well, they were viewed as one of the worst teams in the field? Not the worst, but one of the, what, 15 worst teams in the field? So somewhere between, you know, say 48 and 53, 48 and 54. I don't know exactly where they finished. Doesn't matter. But they weren't in the top 45. They weren't in the top 40. They weren't in the top 30. They weren't in the top 20. They weren't in the top 15 like Maryland was. So the questions still exist and remain. So we'll find out together on Thursday night. Until then, a tremendous win, not going to take anything away. Again, they've got to do better offensive rebounding, but when they had to have one after an erratic set and they couldn't get a good shot off, they got a huge offensive rebound from Julian Reese. And the foul and the two free throws. One without the other doesn't matter. If he misses the two free throws, arguably, we don't know for sure, but arguably they don't win the game. If their depth or lack thereof, because they only got 21 minutes and 2 points from their bench the entire game, if that doesn't improve between now and Thursday, and if Gillespie is off again, as he was yesterday, 4 of 12, 2 of 7 from 3-point, and as he has been at times down the stretch, if they don't get better production out of their bench, if they don't get Gillespie to shoot not lights out, but you know, somewhere in the ballpark of 50%, if they don't hit their free throws, which they did yesterday, 10 of 12, including the Juju Reese two free throws late, if they don't do that, which they didn't do against Grand Canyon for the most part on Friday, if they get offensive rebound or just out-rebounded like they did against Michigan in the Big Ten semifinal, ultimately like they did 39-29 last night, 13-8 on the offensive glass, 26-21 on the defensive glass. If one or two of those things happen on Thursday night, they ain't winning. And then the question becomes, how good was the season? If you get to the Sweet 16 and lose to the number one seed, most people are going to say, okay, that was a fine season. That was a good season. I don't know how people are going to ultimately judge that. My guess is that was a fine season. That was a good season, not a great season by any stretch. That's my guess. You want to weigh in on that? Go right ahead. The Nationals and the Orioles have been officially postponed, and of course, no makeup date for that game at Nationals Park. So the next time and the first time we will see the Nationals in action at Nationals Park is Thursday afternoon, 4:05. We'll be on the road. Details to come on that. In the Navy Yard on Thursday afternoon for opening day to come later on this week. Let's get to our guy, Sean, in Connecticut. What's up, Sean? How are you, pal?
I'm good, Chris. Long time no talk.
Yes,
hope you've been doing all right.
Yes, sir. Hope you've been doing okay as well.
Yeah, you know, hanging in there. My dad went to St. Bonaventure, so we were up at St. Bonaventure last weekend for an event, and I actually got to meet the Bonnies AD and Adrian Wojnarowski.
Oh, nice.
Now,
yeah.
Yeah.
Two
really, really nice guys, and the future of Bonnies basketball is very bright.
I've always rooted for St. Bonnie a little bit because, as you might recall, I went to school in Buffalo, and that's, course, as you know, in Olean, New York, which is, of course, a very, very small villagey, town. But that program has always had a special little karma place. I don't want to say in my heart. I don't want to be fake, but it's always been of interest to me. And when Adrian Wojnarowski went there, and I read this really, really, really long piece of how he just felt this tug and this urge and this pulling to get away from the rat race that is the NBA insider game, but to go home and to do something different and to invest his time and his energy and his remaining, years in St. Bonaventure basketball. I found that to be kind of astonishing and so cool and refreshing and neat and all that. And again, it helped that I had some familiarity with the program from my time in Buffalo.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really got that sense. Him and the AD are really on the same page, and they got a bright future. And I will say, he did drop what I consider to be a Woj bomb on me in person, so it was a very surreal experience. But that's going to end my positive note.
So wait, you can't share that with us, I assume?
It's what I'm going to talk about right now.
Oh, okay.
Sean Miller, I thought I hated Ron Rivera. My hate for Sean Miller will literally never, it will increase every single year. He is the definition of a two-faced sellout scumbag. Zager gave him his first job. He made a name for himself. He deserted us to go to the desert and then commit crimes. He was ousted. His reputation was in the gutter. Nobody wanted him. Xavier welcomed him back with open arms. I was at his introductory press conference. We were so excited.
We should point out that you are an Xavier guy, right? For everybody that doesn't know.
Xavier alumni.
Yes.
We welcomed him back, gave him a chance to rebuild his reputation, get his name out of the gutter, and in less than 3 years, he leaves us for the first big offer. And another thing I learned was, 2 years ago now, when my Muskies lost to Texas in the Sweet 16, there was a report that said I've also confirmed this with other people, if Xavier had beaten Texas, Texas was going to hire Sean Miller after that. So to go back to the school that gave you your start, built you up to who you are today, and to just sell out on them and leave them the first big offer you get the second time, and after all this all in, I want to be here. He said in his introductory press conference, I hope March 25th is a day that we remember for Xavier history for decades. And then he does this. I hope nothing but the absolute worst for this sellout scumbag POS. I hate Sean Miller. Xavier Nation hates him. He will never be welcomed back in Cincinnati, in Norwood. And I hope from the bottom of my heart that he does not have a single inkling, or whatever the word is, of success for the rest of his career. I hope Texas chews him up and spits him out, and his high-level coaching career is over forever. And the only thing people remember him for is his federal crimes, getting his assistant years in jail, and selling out the only school who really actually cared about him. Yeah. So Sean Miller, from the bottom of my heart, and I can speak for Xavier Nation when I say this, you are a, I say it, I'm going to say it one more time, then I'll get off so you get other people on here. Scumbag, sellout, POS, spineless, disgusting human being. And I hope Texas chews you up and spits you out like the piece of rotten garbage you are.
Attaboy, Shawnee. All right.
I need an applause sounder. My goodness.
Oh, boy. That was strong. I will say this. I don't care about Texas or Sean Miller. I obviously, Sean does because of Xavier, and he's an Xavier alum, as we mentioned. I hope that happens to him, too. And by the way, Texas fired a coach that led them to the Elite Eight 2 years ago.
It's college basketball, it's like fickle.
They deserve failure. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, we come back. We'll get to all your calls. I see you, Gary, Steve, DC. We'll get to you. And then we got to get to how dumb you guys are. Wait till you hear what happened to you over the weekend on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, leading you up until 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman at that point. Still plenty of show to go. We'll get into the NFL. We'll get into the Caps weekend. I was front and center Saturday night. I'll tell you about a double dip that I did Saturday evening and night. Coming up as well, just how random is the NCAA tournament? Well, you guys proved it in so many ways and proved other things as well. Real quickly, before we get back to the call, I keep saying Villanova is the job that's open now that, you know, Sean Miller went from Xavier to Texas, as we just heard about, and Nico Medved went to Minnesota from Colorado State, team that Maryland just beat, and the Iowa job locked up. There's still plenty of jobs actually beyond just Villanova. Now, Villanova's the biggest of the jobs, but, you know, West Virginia, pretty big job. Xavier is now a pretty big job. VCU, okay. UNLV, all right. Navy's open. Again, not a place that, you know, a big-time name is going to go, but you get the point. Drake and McNeese. There are more than just one, but Villanova is the major one. So that, you know, and because Villanova was attached to Kevin Willard, you know, that's what has been mentioned here several times. All right, let's get a call in here before the bottom of the hour. Gary is up in Upper Marlboro on the Team 980. Gary, how are you? Good afternoon.
How you doing, Chris?
What's up, Gary?
Right, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, look, I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, the gentleman who just called before, I agree with him 100%. Sean Miller, people were talking about him coming to College Park a few years ago, and I didn't want to touch him. Mm-hmm. I just felt that he was a good coach. He was a good recruiter, but there just seemed something very seedy about him. You compare him to Gary Williams. When Gary Williams left the program in Ohio State to come to Maryland, and then he immediately gets hit with sanctions, and nobody would have blamed him if he was, as a young, hothead coach, he would have went to another program. He stayed at Maryland, and the rest is history. So I agree with that Xavier caller. As far as Maryland, this team is concerned, I think this would be an excellent season, even if they lost to Florida, okay? Florida is a better team than Maryland, all right? Not by a lot, but they're a better team than Maryland. You got to remember where Maryland was forecasted to be in the Big Ten this year. They were supposed to be in the lower half of the Big Ten, and they end up finishing second this year, and they get to the Sweet 16. I think even if they lose to Florida, it would be an excellent season. They had a freshman who played great. They had a bunch of guys that they got through the transfer portal, and nobody thought that they were going to be able to be this good this year.
That's fair.
And they lost a ton of games that they easily could have won, okay? I mean, in every game they lost, they could have easily won. And so I think that this is an excellent season. I personally think Kevin Willard is leaving. I hope he doesn't. but I think he's probably going to leave, and it'd be terrible for Terps fans, but I think he's out the door. I don't think you hear a coach talk like that and expect to be around. I think he's already made his decision.
You think Villanova?
I think he's leaving for Villanova.
Okay. All right.
I think he's leaving for Villanova. I hope I'm wrong, but you know, you just don't see coaches talking like that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And so, yeah,
it sounded like a guy that was. He's got no direct boss right now. Okay, obviously the president, and the chancellor, and all that. I'll leave that for other people that care about that stuff. But of course, he's got a boss, but he doesn't have a direct supervisor, if you will, or somebody that's directly in charge of him. So in a way, he's kind of wielding from a leverage spot, especially now that they've made it to the Sweet 16. But again, make no mistake about it. Villanova does not have to hire a coach tomorrow. Right, they can wait until Friday and put a sweetheart. I have no idea what their NIL is. I have no idea what their budget is. I have no idea what connections there are, other than he coached forever in the Big East. And when you coach at Seton Hall, you probably got to have a healthy respect and knowledge, and an intimate knowledge of Villanova and what it's like to coach in a place that Jay Wright made, you know, famous and relevant again after so many years of Raleigh Massimino. So I can't rule it out either. I mean, I hope that he stays, but I can't rule it out either. So I'm with you on that. Gary, I appreciate it. By the way, I was looking at our bracket here. I think I can only find one of your picks. I think it was Auburn over Alabama State. I can't find your other pick. So
congratulations. So you gave me a layup.
Congratulations on congratulations on the one pick I can find. How about that?
All right.
Appreciate you, Jerry.
It.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. All right. 33 minutes after the hour, we'll come back and we'll grab Steve and DC, and then we will get into how you guys did on the people's bracket. And the hint is, well, not very good. Not very good. First, a trending alert right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, as we celebrate Maryland onto the Sweet 16, Thursday night in San Francisco against one seed in the West, the Florida Gators, chomp chomp, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Lots of college basketball comings and goings and moving and shaking. First, Iowa officially hiring their new head coach, Drake's Ben McCollum. Again, he takes over for Fran McCaffrey there. As we heard, very upset Xavier alum. That's because Sean Miller, for a second time, leaving the Xavier program. This time to become the head basketball coach at Texas, who Xavier just beat in the play-in game last Wednesday. He replaces Rodney Terry, who took over in 2022 and led Texas to an Elite Eight in 2023, so not very long ago. And as we've also mentioned, the Minnesota Gophers hiring Nico Medved, who we just saw a lot of last night, a very valiant effort from his Colorado State team, losing to Maryland at the buzzer. Medved, a Minneapolis native, so not a surprise there. The Maryland women's program in action tonight at 5 o'clock. In Xfinity Center against 5-seed Alabama. So again, number 4, Maryland, the women, in the second round of the NCAA Women's Tournament. Tonight here on the Team 980 at 6:45, we have the Raptors and the Wizards at Capital One Arena. Two teams splitting a pair about a week and a half ago, with the Wizards winning the last one, and the Nationals and the Orioles were postponed due to inclement weather. The final spring tune-up before opening day on Thursday against the Phillies at 4:05, and that's what's trending. Per BetMGM, and these odds mean absolutely nothing. Zero. Maryland is plus 3,300. To win the NCAA championship. Duke, of course, the odds-on favorite at plus 225, Mad Max. Florida, the opponent, Thursday night, right here on the Team 980, plus 350, second off the board. Again, the odds do not mean what people think they mean. They do not mean that Vegas knows what is going to happen. They are simply reacting to data. That's all they are. Oh, one seeds are available. Duke is better than Florida. They've got the best player in the country. Let's put them here. That's a pretty good value. Away we go. Again, how you know this is when the odds for like Maryland and Florida, or I should say the spread for Maryland and Florida comes out like literally immediately after the final gun. How much analysis, how much thought with all of the games going on is being put into that? How much inside information is being put into that? Not a lot, if any. And yet, people go, oh, Vegas is trying to tell you something. Well, no bleep, Sherlock, that Duke is favored. Max, you just snarkled, or whatever that word that I'm trying to say.
Scoffed, yeah.
Scoffed. Was that because I said about Duke being the favorite, or because you believe more in the odds than your boy does?
It's what we're getting to. I look down and just the numbers on these picks that were made are just absolutely preposterous.
From BetMGM, you mean? Or
No. What we've been teasing the entire time. Oh. And I have my mic on, and I just I let a little scoff
yes.
out.
Yes. All right, we're gonna get to that because I've been trying to stretch this out as long as I can. Fair. Any opportunity that I can to make fun of the listeners on this show,
you should take it.
I should take it. Right. So when others would do just the opposite and say, no, you guys are great. You guys are awesome. You guys are so smart.
We love you guys. No, you guys are not smart.
I just can't wait to poke the bear. By the way, plus Arkansas, which beat the beloved St. John's and the St. Rick Pitino, right?
Yeah.
Who benched his best player with 5 minutes left to go in a 2-point game. Whether he had good reason to or not. The Hogs. Woo pig suey, baby.
Woo pig.
Plus 10,000.
Mmm.
To win it all. The lowest of the Sweet 16 teams. Ole Miss is second, plus 8,000.
Listen, if you believe Coach Cal is going to cement his legacy today, or this year.
How is BYU, which I, granted, I
BYU can score.
I know they can score, but I don't know any much about them.
I just know that they can score.
I know they can score. But how are they plus 6,600 and Arkansas is plus 10,000?
Because people are placing bets on BYU.
But at some point, there's an initial line. I don't know, Jeff Goodman, who I got this from, and BetMGM, I don't know if these were, as a matter of fact, I don't think these are the opening lines. Like, they are the updated current lines right now per MGM, or as of an hour ago. But they're not the opening line. So at some point, like, BYU probably was not plus 6,600. They were probably higher than that, if I had to guess, because nobody knows anything about BYU. So to your point, they are betting them down.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at some point, right, not all of these numbers and not all of these odds are that far off from where the Vegas handicappers set the number, the initial number at, right? And I guess that's kind of my point, is people go into this, especially at this time of the year, and if J.P. Finley is listening, I'm sure he probably is I don't want him to drive off the road, but he's probably very upset at me if he's even listening. And he often does, which I appreciate. It's my guy. But the odds, which people think really matter and influence, like what's going to happen, and that Vegas handicappers know what's going to happen before it happens, again, they are heavily affected by knucklehead fans. Quite honestly. Oh, I've got $5. I'm going to bet Florida. Oh, and Florida went from, 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, from maybe plus 400 or plus 500 to plus 350. Well, what does that mean? It just means a bunch of numbnuts bet a couple of dollars on Florida. Maybe more than a couple of dollars. Doesn't mean anything. Yet we take this stuff, well, not me, a lot of you take this stuff to mean something, and it means very little. All right, let's get to Steve in Columbia, and then we'll get to D.C. What up, Steve? How are you?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Steve. What's going on? Hope you had a good weekend.
Okay. Good, good, good. A couple points on my Terps.
Yes.
First, they were predicted to be 10th in the Big Ten.
Was
the
it
Big
that
Ten
low?
Is probably the
it was that
yes,
low, really?
It was.
Wow, crazy.
Right. Also, the Big Ten is probably the second best basketball conference in the country. So, in regards to Coach Willard, I think that dialogue is something that's probably been going on for a couple months, and I think he was just frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I wouldn't have done it like that, but I think he's just like, what the heck? He's a guy who bets on himself. He said he was honest with his team, told them what was going on. And the bottom line is, in this recruiting environment where it's very dependent upon NIL, getting some new kids in, going into the transfer portal, you have to have those resources.
Yes.
He's speaking loud, and he wanted those in charge to know what was going on. And in regards to their opponent, the other North Colorado State or whoever they were, actually, that's one of the better offensive teams in the country when it comes to offensive sets and things like that, the way that they play. And the coach even said that was probably one of the hardest teams he's faced all year, including in the Big Ten. So I think you made a comment about, you know, they might not have been playing the best talent. When it's a one-and-done type environment, anybody can win any day or any night. So that's all I had to say.
No, I agree with you in a lot of ways. Thank you, Steve. I didn't realize it was that low. I guess because the jury was out on Queen, you know, and because Miguel Miguel and
Gillespie
were you know, we're all new. So I guess people didn't really kind of figure. I don't know, man. That's surprising to me that they were that low. I didn't remember that, honestly. That was a long time ago. But good for them. And you're right. They need the NIL money. I just, you know, his point, I guess, ultimately is, look, if you want me to contend for a Final Four or a championship, this is what we have to have. This is what, I use the comparison to John Calipari. John Calipari went from Kentucky, where often he was a first-round failure, right, despite having a lot of talent, went from Kentucky to Arkansas. Arkansas's got big boosters, Tyson Foods, Walmart, and others, right? They've got a $10 million budget. I don't know what Maryland's budget is or their basketball roster budget is, but I would be willing to bet it's not $10 million, even though you have Under Armour, right? And the point being is, you want me to contend with not only Arkansas, but you want me to contend with Duke and Houston and Florida and Auburn and Alabama, you got to give me the resources. As Bill Parcells once said, you know, if you're going to expect me to cook dinner, you got to let me shop for the groceries or something to that effect, you know?
Yeah.
So there you go. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you. As always, good to hear from you. Let's squeeze in D.C. and Charlotte Hall right here on the Team 980. D.C., how are you, pal?
Man, I'm excellent. Russell, how are you?
I am doing good, brother. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And it closed with a great game by the Terps, man. And what was the gentleman's name that was just on? Cook Gracious.
Just now?
Yeah.
Oh, Steve. Yeah, Steve.
Steve, don't worry about the rankings before the season. It's how we finish. We still got work to do. I look forward to that game-winning shot to bring us more energy. We got to start these games a little bit better. And I think the outcomes will be more what we want. But, man, they played a great game because Colorado State came out and they were shooting threes and they were making them. And I was excited they had fell in love with it because I knew that would come back and haunt them in the end. But they hit the shot, but they didn't win the game on it because they kind of got cold there somewhere in the after halftime.
Yep.
in the middle of the second half. So,
but that's them getting cold. That's Maryland playing better defense because in the first half it was in and out, and they were allowing way, 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 way too much ball movement, especially inside the paint. So Maryland tightened up a lot in that second half. They weren't perfect, but they tightened up a lot.
I just hope we attack the basket more too. I felt like we were settling for shots and stuff. We need to go to the basket more. We see the results of how we won the game. You got to go to the basket. Don't settle for a pullback three or go to the basket.
Well, that's what I loved about that game-winning shot, right? I mentioned this earlier, right? So you bring up the point again, right? How many times have we seen a team down by one in that spot shoot a three or long distance two?
And
now,
settle.
Sometimes that's forced by the defense. A lot of times it's not. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's just the first clean open look. And even though you don't need a three-pointer, whereas Derek Queen gets the ball at the top, not at the top of the circle, but just inside the top of the circle, right? Makes a move immediately to his offside, drives, and at worst, he's likely getting a foul call.
Don't say it.
I thought
you were going to bring up traveling.
I heard you earlier.
That was not a travel.
Okay, so a lot of people think it was. I thought it was. A lot of other people thought it was. You and Coach Sheehan are the only two, besides maybe Derek Queen, that didn't think it was a travel.
Russell, you got to watch it again. He takes the dribble. He takes one, two, and then he takes off. How is that a travel?
I think it was 1-2-3.
I don't think it was a foul. I definitely think that was great defense by that Colorado State defender.
I'm not saying it was a foul. I'm saying you hope by driving to the basket in that case that he would have been able to draw a foul if he didn't make the shot. Now, as it turned out, you're right. It was. It was good defense, and it was just a better shot, and whether or not it was traveling or not. But by going to the basket as a big man, you essentially hope that if you don't make the shot, you're going to draw a foul. Now, that didn't happen in this case, but at least you give yourself a better chance of driving to the rack and making an incredible shot as opposed to trying to shoot one from 21 feet away.
Yes, that's why I want us to be more aggressive, because that puts pressure on the defense to play good defense, not just have to go on the perimeter and have you pass the ball around. Go to the basket there, it draws somebody and opens up someone else.
Yeah.
And also, the defense was so good, but that was even better because he kissed off glass and
I got you. DC, your phone is breaking up on me, so I got to put you. I got to let you go. But I appreciate the phone call. It's a great call as always. I'm watching it again. I know we got to take a break. I'm watching it again from like a blown up perspective. I mean, I don't know. I I've watched it so many different times. I mean, he picks up his dribble like right before the free throw line is his last dribble. 1, 2, 3. I mean, there's clearly a third step, right, Max?
But he's pushing off with that third step.
I know.
So, like, to me, and that's the other thing, the refs were letting them play the entire game.
Yes, and again, he was frustrated by that.
Frustrated about it anymore.
No. Absolutely. Good point. And I think we would all say this as basketball people, fans, whatever, observers.
Sure.
You'd rather let them play.
Correct.
Than call and over officiate everything.
Correct. All right,
we're with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. How bad were you guys? Well, you were really, really bad. The answer next, coming up. Coming up, we got to get into something that happened at the end of the UConn-Florida game yesterday with controversial UConn, two-time, now not defending, I guess, but two-time national champion head coach, Dan Hurley. We will do that on the other side. As well, I just saw this, and before I forget to get to it, Bob Carpenter announced at the beginning of today's broadcast that, and this not surprising, he's been working a much more reduced schedule over the last few years. This is going to be his last year, his 20th with the organization, with Masson. And, of course, the TV deal is now going to be a different, I guess it could still stay on Masson, but, I mean, how likely is that? So it looks like there will be a new play-by-play voice wherever the Nationals are on television. I don't know what that means with likely, again, leaving Masson, but not definitively. Those guys work for Masson. Carpenter, Kevin Franzen, Colco, I think, is a Nationals employee, I think. But so I don't know exactly how that's going to work. But, I mean, Colco's obviously been doing a lot of the TV broadcasts, all of them, for the matter of fact, when Carpenter is not around. All right, coming up, you will hear just how bad you guys are. And I say that with a smile because I love it. I love that you all suck. I love it. I live for it on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.